Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in. Today's episode, we got back-to-back Sam Spade, a character that debuted back in the 1930s in the book The Maltese Falcon, which was also turned into a movie starring Humphrey Bogart, which was my first introduction into that character. So incidentally, whenever I hear the name Sam Spade, that's who I picture. And if anyone listening hasn't seen that movie yet, I highly recommend it. Don't forget, I got a 1-year anniversary for this podcast coming up, so keep those questions coming. You can find ways to contact me in the links in the description. And while you're at it, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow, review if you can, and also rate. It's a small thing, but it helps out. It's free to do, and once you do it once, you're done. You don't have to keep doing it for every episode. Also, if you're on Spotify, please check out the polls. It's a great way to get feedback for the show. And with all that out of the way, please enjoy Sam Spade, Volume 3.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Me, sweetheart.
Oh, Sam, I got it.
Got what, my pet?
A bank book, Sam.
Well, you must advertise in the Lost and Found right away, Effie, and find the owner. There might be sickness in the family.
Oh, but it's your bank book, Sam.
What?
Uh-huh, it has your name on it. Samuel Spade, account number 4.
It's a forgery. Somebody's trying to pin something on me. Lock it up and don't touch it until I get there.
Oh, all right. Did you make a lot of money on this one, too?
Got the check right in my pocket, $500.
Oh, Sam, we're making more money than a movie star.
Well, almost.
And all honestly, too. $600 last week and $500 this week.
Yeah, how about that? Life gives a 3-page spread to I Spy Molten. But we mustn't let it turn our heads, Effie.
No.
We gotta stay in there pitching. I'll be right down to pitch my report on the Adam Fig caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. You've heard the saying, you never know until you try. Well, you'll never know how handsome your hair can look until you try Wild Root Cream Oil. See for yourself how neatly and naturally Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair. Note how effectively it relieves annoying dryness and removes loose, ugly dandruff. You can get Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic in either the big economy-sized bottle or the handy tube. Or you can ask your barber to use it on your hair. But by all means, try it. Don't delay. Get it today. Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Well, we got to watch these expenses, Effie. You know, there's always something.
Yes, but this will be saving. It saves confusion and saves fretting.
Mm-hmm. Now, this gadget here, what is it?
It's a mini robot.
A what about?
It's for busy men like yourself, Sam, so you don't have to burden your mind with petty details. You see, it has this dial on it, right here. And you drop these little cards in this slot. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that. That's for me to take care of.
Oh, good.
Then, when you come into the office, and supposing you have an appointment with Mr. Jones at 2 o'clock, and you forgot about it, you just dial 2 o'clock, and the little card pops out. And it says Mr. Jones on it.
How do I remember to dial 2 o'clock?
Oh, well, maybe it's in the instruction book. But anyway, now go ahead, Sam, please. The card's right in there. Now, dial 2 o'clock. Go on, Sam.
Now, let's see,
It's like a telephone, Sam.
Now what do I do?
Well, give it time, Sam. It's thinking.
Must have forgotten. Jones. Mr. Jones.
Ooh.
Effie, do you think it's dead?
Oh, Sam, I don't understand it. It was working perfectly. Well, I'll take it straight back first thing in the morning.
You'll have to. It'll never find a way itself. You got your book, sweetheart?
Yes, Sam. I don't understand. It was working perfectly.
Well, it's all right, honey. It doesn't matter. Date, October 5, 1947, to Hillary Exxon Esquire from Samuel Spade, license number 137596.
Oh,
Sam, honey, it's only a memo robot. Subject, the Adam Fig Caper. Dear Mr. Exxon, October 2nd in San Francisco was one of those days that you see blown off the calendar by a gust of wind in the movies to denote the time is passing. It was a day for scraping off the minutes with a fingernail file and wondering whether the display ad I'd paid for in the classified section of the phone book wasn't just a waste of money. It certainly wasn't the day I'd expect a leprechaun to walk into my office. He said his name was Adam Fig. He said he was the butler at Exxon Manor in Los Nidos.
The limousine, Mr. Spade, is waiting to take you away. We mustn't keep them waiting, must we?
Of course we mustn't. Who mustn't we?
Why, Mr. Hillary, of course, sir.
Oh, Mr. Hillary.
And old Mr. Exxon. Mm. The old gentleman is very ill.
Dr. Feige's office is down the hall. Turn to your right, second door.
Well, I assure you, sir, that Mr. Exxon is the best of medical care. Your duty will be simple, to prevent his death.
Do I donate blood or just frighten away the evil spirits?
It isn't quite that, sir. Someone is trying to kill Mr. Exxon. He's a very sick man, and I'm sure he'd prefer dying from natural causes.
Uh-huh. I get $25 a day in expenses.
Here is an ample amount in advance. But you should know, sir, that the old man is a nasty, cantankerous, villainous, crooked, intimidating...
$500? Please, Fig, you're talking about the man I love. Los Nidos was at least an overnight caper, so on my way out, my lovely and charming secretary, Miss Perrine, handed me a brown paper bag which contained A, one pair of socks, darned, B, one shirt, ironed, and C, the apple which she always polishes for me the night before. We arrived at your large Southern-style mansion 2 hours later.
Oh, Pig, where the devil have you been?
To the city, sir.
I can't find the keys to the liquor closet. Where are all the maids? What happened to that cook we hired yesterday? Who is this man, and why is he wearing that necktie?
This is Mr. Spade, sir, the detective.
Oh, I'm Hillary Exxon. Come in, please. Go on upstairs, Pig. See what that girl is doing to my father. I don't believe she's a nurse at all.
Very good, sir.
In here, Mr. Spade. Pardon the condition of the house. The old man has been firing the servants again.
Your father, you mean?
Yes. Every time he gets shot at, he fires all the servants.
He gets shot at pretty often?
About once a year, in the fall.
Uh-huh. You always hire a detective?
No. Oh, dear.
I'm not keeping you up, am I?
No, excuse me, please. It's much worse this time. I can't get any sleep. Guns going off in the middle of the night. The whole household disturbed.
When and where was he last shot at?
Yesterday morning at about 1:30. I dug the bullet out of the woodwork myself, a .38 caliber, embedded in the door frame that leads to Miss Kaywood's room. That's his nurse.
Was she with him at the time?
No. No, Dad sleeps like a baby, full of sedatives. She sees to that.
Shot come from outside?
Yes, but we found nobody on the grounds. No traces of anybody. I don't know whether Dad knows who shot at him or not. He's such a closed-mouth old devil.
You don't care very much for your father, do you?
To be frank, Mr. Spade, if hating weren't such an effort, I would despise him. He is without a doubt... Well, listen.
Get out of here!
There, that's just a sample. Well, come on, let's see what's eating him now.
All right, now get out!
Don't talk to me like that. I tell you, I won't stand for it.
Well, you don't have to stand for it. Take that silly painted face out of my sight.
Don't you dare!
Get out!
I'm quitting, Mr. Exxon. I can't stand another minute. Yelling, screaming, throwing things at
him. You must have done something to set him off.
I
I tell you,
oh,
I didn't.
This is Mr. Spade, Miss Kaywood.
Oh, a detective.
Will it make you happier to know that I'm a private detective, Miss Kaywood?
Well, Mr. Spade, I only hope you can prevent a murder. If there's any way at all that I can help,
Thanks, I'll see you downstairs after I've talked to the old man.
You'd better go in alone, Spade. Oh, Miss Kaywood, do you have a throat spray downstairs? I seem to be congested.
Oh, go away. Go away! Go away! Oh, well, wasting ammunition. Who are you? If you're a total stranger, come on in. Well, don't be afraid, son. Come on over where I can look at you. It's hard to keep my eyes open. Oh, no, I mustn't do that, Oh, so you're the detective, eh?
That's right, Pop. If you want to take a little nap or something, I'll come back later.
What did I say just now? Come back later? No. There's no reason for you to come back later. I'll say everything I have to say right now. The shot woke me. I didn't see anything. I don't know anything. I've got a million enemies. I can't remember the names of any of them.
Why don't you try to remember? I could have them checked.
You're wasting your time, sonny. In my day, I've wiped out 100 men, and I'll outlive anybody who's gunning for me now.
You must be proud of your past, huh?
Proud? Sonny, a past like mine is the finest thing an old man can have. I've swindled my partners and betrayed my friends. I've turned state's evidence just to see my associate get sent up for 20 years. And they say my wife died under peculiar circumstances, and I got rich off her insurance. Now I'm done talking. do me a favor, son, please. I've got to get a half hour, 20 minutes sleep alone. You'll keep them out, everybody. Please, will you? Please.
Sure, Pop. Go ahead, go on, sleep.
Oh, thank you. That's it.
He closed his eyes, rolled over, and fell into a heavy sleep. I stood there a moment, looking down at the frail, wasted old body. Then I cased the room. In digging the bullet out of the door, Hillary had done a good job of ruining any chance there might have been of proving the direction it had come from. I strolled out on the balcony. It was a pretty night. I lit a cigarette and took it in. Then I heard the door open and close softly behind me. Nurse Kaywood was at your father's bedside. She was filling a hypodermic from a small vial of bluish liquid. He didn't awaken when she jabbed it into his arm. Then she saw me standing in the doorway. She hastily dropped the medicine vial into her uniform pocket and came around the bed to meet me.
Oh, Mr. Spade, oh, thank heaven. Why, when I saw you standing there in the half night, I thought you might be...
Thought
the...
I was who?
Why, the man who fired the shot.
It was a man?
I don't know. I didn't see it happened. I just assumed that...
You shouldn't have done it. I warned you, sir. Eleanor.
Oh, we're disturbing him. Let's talk outside.
Okay.
Oh, it's good to breathe something besides sick room air.
I thought you got used to things like that in your profession.
Why are you so unfriendly, Mr. Spade? Nurses are human, aren't detectives?
Try me, sweetheart.
Oh, I know what you're thinking of me. But after a week in this horrible house, That poor old man, he's frightened. He's really frightened.
What of?
Why the shots.
.38 caliber or hypodermic?
Surely you don't think that I... He's supposed to be under sedatives. The doctor's orders...
Sorry, sweetheart. It's my job to suspect everybody.
Oh. Can't you forget your job, even for a moment?
Sure. If you don't mind the fact that I know you're a liar, that I'd make book you didn't come here primarily as a nurse, and what's worse, your act's not even convincing.
Oh. Is it that bad, Sam?
Yeah. Almost bad enough to be good. Come here.
Oh, I hate you.
It was a very satisfactory love scene for both of us. For reasons of her own, Barbara wanted to keep me out of that sick room for a while, and she did. For reasons of my own, I wanted to get that medicine vial out of her uniform pocket, and I did. Then, as suddenly as we had fallen into love, we fell out again. After she'd gone to her room, I went back to my sentry duty around the house. Under a light on the front veranda, I examined the bottle from which Barbara had taken the injection for your father. It was labeled sodium thanitol and had been dispensed by a firm called Ibis Chemicals Limited in Cairo, Egypt. A scream filled the house, high and frenzied. I started running toward Barbara Kaywood's room. I slammed the terrace door open and found the light switch. Barbara was sitting upright in the center of a bed. Her face jerked up so abruptly that it seemed her neck had snapped. She clutched both hands to her chest and fell face down among the bedclothes, staining them with her blood. I don't know whether I went through, over, or around the screen that stood between her room and the old man's. I circled Exxon's bed. He lay on the floor on his side facing the window. I went outside. A .38 automatic lay on the ground a few yards away from the building. I put that into my pocket and listened. No shadows moving. Nothing. Then he was on me before I could be sure he wasn't a medium-sized tree.
Break your back. Be the light.
The warm stuff on my cheek might have been the thing's blood or mine. It gathered me up and bent me back and tore at my throat. Then I remembered that hands are stronger than fingers. I started with his thumbs. He lay there for a moment, then his huge body began to twitch. He was holding his fingers and sobbing like a baby. I pulled him up to his feet, poked him in the back with the flat of my hand. I followed him through an opening in the hedges and down a long, pitch-dark lane toward the lights of a squat brick house set on the top of a slight rise. As we approached it, a door opened and light streamed out onto the porch. The tall man framed in the doorway was the last person in the world I expected to see.
Ah, Marcus, you brought it.
Oh, master, very delightful service, but have much pain in me.
Always complaining, Marcus. Welcome, Mr. Spade. Come in, my dear fellow. Come in. I've been expecting you. The lost family fortune by blackmailing me.
And if you don't remit, Exxon could have you booked for forgery, blackmail, definition of character.
Oh, my dear sir, please. This is most painful. But if I had but the original letter, I could destroy it and go back to the felt. Ah, the felt.
What happened to it?
That stinker stole it. He burgled my home.
Are you taking pot shots at old Exxon?
Well, don't be a fool, man. I want Exxon to stay alive. I must find out some part of his life which will have an exchange value that will cancel out what he has on me. By the way, old thing, you met Miss Kaywood.
Mm-hmm.
At the present moment, she's milking me for $150 a day.
Oh?
She's supposed to goad the old man, by whatever means necessary, into talking about his past. And that information she is to bring to me.
Well, that ought to be easy. Exxon brags about his past.
Now, so far, I've learned that Hillary Exxon stole two heifers at a livestock show in Abilene in 1906.
I feel for you, Captain. I wouldn't get much on the current market, would it?
My dear fellow, I've a proposition to make to you. Should you ferret out anything that would be of value to me, I'll reward you handsomely.
Well, maybe something can be arranged, Captain.
Good, excellent. May I have your word on that?
Well, there isn't much time, Captain. I'd better trot on back.
I'll show you the door, sir.
And let me warn you, Mr. Spade, for your own good, should you ever hear the thrum of Ibis wings, run. Flee.
I assured him that I would heed his warning, bade him goodnight, and started back down the lane in the direction of Action Manor. Business was going on as usual. There were no shots this time, only the scream. When I got to Barbara's room, you and Adam were standing at a bedside trying to quiet her down.
Well, Mr. Spade, is this the way you guard the house against intruders? Where have you been?
Ask Adam.
What does he mean by that thing?
I'm sure I don't know, sir. I've not left the house.
What happened here?
Oh, she woke up screaming. She said someone had come into the room and torn off her bandages. A nightmare, of course.
Please, I want to talk to Mr. Spade alone. Oh, please go. Adam, you go too. Please, Hillary, you go too.
Good. Some questions I want to ask you, sweetheart, alone.
But look here, Spade, look here. She just had a terrific shock. She shouldn't be questioned.
Well, the code of detective transcends that of the medical, Mr. Hillary.
Huh?
Perhaps he should have a few minutes alone with Miss Kaywood.
Oh, very well. I suppose you know best.
Remember what the doctor said, Miss Barbara. Not too much exertion.
What happened, Barbara?
Well, it could have been a dream. Somebody was standing over me in the darkness and peering down at me. And then he started to rip off my bandages and I screamed. And when Fig came into the room and he turned on the lights, he was gone. It could have been a dream, Sam, and I could have been clawing at the bandages myself in my sleep.
But you weren't. It wasn't a dream. I've been talking to Captain Sherry.
And then I thought... Oh, well, how much do you know?
That you've been feeding the old man truth serum to get him to talk in his sleep.
Oh.
How much talking has he done?
Well, plenty.
How much have you told Sherry?
Well, just as little as possible.
Why?
Because, Sam, if we can keep that old man alive and out of jail long enough to sell what we know to Sherry for what it's really worth,
We'd be fools not to do it.
What makes you so sure you'll stay alive long enough to collect, sweetheart?
Well, because you're going to help me, aren't you, Sam?
So I helped her, but not for the reason she thought. I made a lot of noise leaving her room and going to mine. Going back, I didn't wear any shoes. I slipped into a clothes press in her room so quietly that even she didn't hear me. I left the door slightly ajar and waited. Time passed, and I was stiff from standing still. It happened at about 3 a.m. The crazy, feverish glare of his eyes told me that the threat of the gun in my hands meant nothing to him. I jumped to his side, twisted the knife away from him, picked him up in my arms, and carried him, kicking, clawing, and swearing, back to his bed. He lay there, breathing hard. Then he smiled.
You're a smart one, Sonny. You had me figured out the first time you came in here, didn't you?
Not quite, Mr. Exxon. The gun under your window was the clincher.
That gun? Sure. I had it under my pillow all the time. I got tired of shooting into door frames.
Look, you're dying, Mr. Exxon. There's no use trying to make up stories now.
You're right, Sonny. I knew that nurse would sit up in bed after I fired tonight. And then I let her have it right through the screen.
Why?
You know why well enough. She was doping me up and sneaking in here at night, listening to what I was babbling about.
Maybe you weren't saying anything important, Mr. Exxon.
I might have, Sonny. I might have. 14 years ago, I killed my wife. I wanted to carry the secret to my grave.
You nearly made it at that.
Spade! What's happened?
Is he dead?
He's dead.
Did he say anything, sir? Did he confess anything?
You must tell me if he said anything.
I didn't hear him say a word.
Oh, well. Yeah, Mr. Spade. Charged with a certain texture, a significant quality.
There's a certain smell, yes.
Ah, an omen. You can inhale it, sir. Journey thou to Nairobi on the felt. Tarry 7 days, and you will collect the fabulous golden skull of Wizami, king of the Bojamas. Aha! Marcus!
Yes, master.
Unhook the hooker. Pack the marmalade. We are off to the felt.
Just then, a flock of birds broke across the horizon, screaming. There must have been thousands of them, but not ibis, Mr. Exxon. Vultures. I suppose if you're going to pay any attention to omens, it's a good thing to know your birds. Period. End of report.
Right now, I have something to say to every man who doesn't use a hair tonic, to every man who says, I don't believe in it or I don't need it. That all depends on what you mean when you say hair tonic. If you mean the old-fashioned greasy kind that leaves your hair smelling like a perfume factory, you're absolutely right. But remember, Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic is nothing like that. Wild Root Cream Oil is an entirely new kind of hair grooming preparation. There's not a drop of alcohol in Wild Root Cream Oil, and it contains soothing lanolin that's like the oil of your skin. Most important, Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair the right way, neatly and naturally. Never leaves your hair sticky or greasy. Get the big economy-size bottle and the handy new tube that's economical, easy to pack when you travel, and grand for the bathroom cabinet. Don't delay. Get it today. Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Well, Effie,
Sam, the memo robot worked after all. I told you it would.
Yeah, it just takes a little time, sweetheart.
Oh, read the card, Sam. Look, you see? You'd know you were supposed to see Mr. Jones at 2 o'clock. Isn't it wonderful?
Well, this card doesn't even mention Jones.
Huh? What does it say, Sam?
Well, it says, journey thou to Friskin's drugstore, wager $5 on Ira W. in the third at Belmont Park.
Oh, Sam, it's psychic.
Tarry but a moment.
Yes?
Thou wilt lose $5.
Oh, good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. This is Dick Joy reminding you that next Sunday, author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. Smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, for quick good grooming and to relieve dryness between permanents. Mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
The tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Of Sam Spade, Detective. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Hello, sweetheart. It's only me.
Oh, Sam. Why so modest?
Women, Effie. Age cannot weather nor customs stale their infinite variety.
Huh?
Against their incalculable wiles, mere man is a leaf in the wind.
Oh, Sam, do you really... Oh. Who was she and how windy was it?
Cyclonic, Effie. We had to close every window in the house.
But I...
If you will just contain your natural feminine curiosity for a few moments, I'll be right down to dictate my report on the bow window caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with The Adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. To every man who says, I don't use a hair tonic or I don't believe in a hair tonic, I say this. Decide for yourself. But don't decide until you've tried Wild Root Cream Oil, the entirely different hair tonic. There's not a drop of alcohol in Wild Root Cream Oil, and it contains soothing lanolin. What's more, it grooms your hair the right way, neatly and naturally. So get the big economy-sized bottle and the handy new tube at your drug or toilet goods counter. Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Sam, what's a bow window?
Hmm?
A bow window.
A bow window is a bay window that you look into instead of out of.
Look into instead of out. Oh, Sam.
Get your book, Panther Girl, and slink on in.
Well, what was she trying to see through the bow window?
Hmm?
I mean, whose house was it?
Her own.
But if it was her own house, then why would she
It just goes to show you, darling, what some women will stoop to.
It does?
Mm-hmm. It was a low window.
Oh. Well, whenever you're ready, Sam.
Date, November 10th.
Ninth.
Ninth. Correct. 1947. To Dr. Helmut Ries.
I was right for once.
Yeah. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, the bow window caper. Dear Dr. Ries, I know that this report will not make pleasant reading for you, but you paid for it, so here it is. As far as I was concerned, it all started on Thursday morning when you called at my office. From your story, I gathered it had been going on for some time.
You will say these are merely the actions of a jealous woman, Mr. Spade. But I assure you there's more to it than that. It must be a carefully thought-out plan to ruin my career, my whole life.
In what way, Dr. Reese?
She spies on my private consultations. Insults my women patients. I can no longer even keep a nurse for more than a week at a time. Scenes, hysterics, outbursts of violence. I cannot continue my work under such conditions.
Well, why don't you give her a divorce?
Why, no. This is not her desire. If it were, it would be simple. No, she wants to bring me to ruin. She wants to see me on my knees in front of the public.
Why?
That is what I want to find out. Why?
Doctor, I think you ought to take this case to a head doctor.
I have consulted a psychiatrist. He examined her. She's perfectly competent mentally. So you see, there is here already some mystery. For which one comes to a detective.
How long has this been going on, Dr. Reese?
Since 3 months only. But in this time, she has reduced me to utter desolation.
Dr. Reese was a very good divorce lawyer right down the hall from my office.
No. I discussed the matter of a divorce with her a few days back. This was her answer. You see, a receipt for the purchase of a gun. And this note in her handwriting.
I hope you will not force me to use this. Esther.
Yes.
What do you think she has in mind? Murder or suicide?
She refused to discuss it. But one thing I have noticed. Since she has bought this gun, a new development, a strange man watches my house. Several times I have caught him following me.
Well, she might have hired a detective to check on whether you visit a lawyer.
Perhaps it is very simple, but it is all too strange to be harmless.
I half-heartedly agreed that it might be Dr. Reese, and when your check for $100 didn't bounce, I went to work wholeheartedly. I reached your house on Pacific Avenue just as the streetlights were going on. It's a quiet neighborhood, so I could hear it before I got close enough to read the number on the door.
Get out! Get out of this house! Get out!
They seemed to be slugging their way toward the back of the house, so I decided to risk an entrance. I found the doorbell, and I was about to punch it when I caught sight of your mystery man. He was crouched in a clump of shrubbery that grew under the bow window at the corner of the house. He was still there with his eyes glued to the window when I walked up behind him.
Hey, let go of me. Let go.
Come on, you're going inside.
Listen, I'm not just a snooper.
I didn't say you were. I'm just inviting you inside for a better look.
Now, I'm warning you, if you don't let go of me, I'm...
Stop squirming, will you? Go! The kick he landed on me wasn't according to the Wrestling Association's rules, but I let him get away with it, mainly because I couldn't move for 3 or 4 minutes, and by that time he disappeared down the street. When I recovered my faculties and staggered back to the door, I didn't bother ringing the bell. I just walked in. The hen fight was still going on somewhere in the upper reaches of the house. Then a door burst open on the upper landing, and a girl in a nurse's uniform ran down the stairs toward me, pursued by a pale little woman with a pinched face who was brandishing a pair of brass fire tongs. You brushed past me, Dr. Reese, and headed off the pursuer.
Esther, stop it! Stop this at once! Have you gone crazy? Give me those fire tongs! Give them to me!
What's the matter, Helmut? Afraid I'll mar your light of love's beauty?
What started this?
I caught her creeping about the kitchen. She's going to poison my food.
Explain to you, Mrs. Reese. The doctor
said... Oh, don't bother explaining, Miss Roberts. These morbid fancies of hers.
Don't think I don't know what goes on in that office. That office when I'm not allowed anymore.
That's only because you make the patient so nervous, Esther.
I know what goes on. You and those women.
That will do, Esther. Go to your room.
Very well. But I won't have that woman in this house another day, Helmuth. Is that understood?
Go to your room, Esther.
I'm going. But remember what I said. I've warned you both. I can't.
There, Miss Roberts. Now don't. There.
I can't stand any more, Doctor. I tell you, it's making me a nervous wreck. I just...
Dr. Reese.
Huh? Oh, Mrs. Spade. You saw, you heard?
Yeah.
Come into my office. We'll talk.
I think we'd better.
Doctor, there's still one more patient waiting to see you, Doctor.
Well, have her wait a little longer. This way, Mrs. Spade.
longer.
Well, the doctor will see you just as soon as he possibly can. Have you been feeling any better, Mrs. Campbell?
Sit down, Mrs. Spade. Thanks, but I can say what I have to say standing. Your wife's a very tragic woman, Doctor. I wish I could help her. I wish I could help you, too, but I can't.
You heard her threat against Miss Robbins. Was that a joke?
There's nothing funny about jealousy.
But there is this man who watches the house. And the gun she bought.
I collared him outside just now.
Oh, well, did you get him to talk?
No, but I wouldn't worry about him if I were you. And about that gun. The Constitution says every citizen shall have the right to bear arms. Even Parnell Thomas can't do
that. Mr. Spade, I've not yet told you all. If I...
Oh, Doctor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this patient, she has been waiting for more than an hour.
Well, who is she?
Mrs. Cavanaugh.
Cavanaugh, who? Well, has she been here before?
Of course, last week. Here's her card.
Oh, yes. I'd better get it over. Send her in.
Yes, Doctor. And Doctor, I'm resigning. I'll finish the day, of course, and then I'm through. I'm sorry.
Yes, well. Very well, Miss Robbins. I can't say that I blame you. Good luck.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Well, I'll be going along myself now, Doctor.
No. You must hear me out, Mrs. Spade. I've not yet told all. If you'll just wait until I have seen this patient, please, Mr. Spade, please.
Okay, I'll wait outside.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Come on in,
Mrs. So, you're leaving the doctor's employ, nurse?
I am. Well, Mr. Spade, how does it look from the grandstand?
Messy?
Mm-hmm. You don't mind if I finish cleaning out his desk?
Go right ahead.
Thank you.
What's the matter with Esther, anyway?
I could sum the whole thing up in a single five-letter word, shall I?
You have.
Are you going to walk out on him?
Aren't you?
Yes, I am. Oh, but Esther isn't jealous of your type, if you don't mind my mentioning it.
I feel heartened to think that you noticed I was different.
Oh, I did, Mr. Spade. I really did.
You don't seem particularly nursey to me, either.
I'm not. My, you have a fast pulse, Mr. Spade.
Yes, I've been feeling very weak the last few minutes. I need care.
Oh, you know, you don't eat enough apples, Mr. Spade. Well, I guess I've finished. Oh, there's that old contract. I wonder... Mr. Spade, will you tell the doctor I've left and thank him for me again?
Aren't you going to see him before you go?
No, I'm not. He'd only beg me to stay, and it's... Well, it's simply out of the question. Oh, the poor guy. I just don't know what I'd do if I were in his place. For you, Mr. Spade.
I did, and I told her. She told me I was a victim of hypertension and left me with my mouth open and no thermometer in it. 5 minutes after she'd gone out through the front entrance, your wife came down the stairs looking knowingly at me and the door to the doctor's office and left by the same route. 10 minutes after that, I was halfway through a 1937 National Geographic that was the latest edition on the waiting room table, and had reached the third paragraph on the natural beauties of Winona County, Minnesota. But I never finished it.
I will be back in a minute.
The first thing I saw when I entered the room was Mrs. Cavanaugh, your patient.
Why did he do it?
You, Doctor, were standing over her, nervously twitching off the rubber glove from your right hand. You tested her throat for pulse, then listened to a stethoscope. It was purely a formality. One of the .38 caliber slugs had entered the right temple. The other had torn through the base of the skull. How did it happen?
I don't know. I had completed the examination and walked over there to put my instruments away. When I turned back, she had a gun in her hand. Before I could stop her, she pulled the trigger. Suicide, of course.
Why?
Well, I just told her the truth, that there was nothing I or any other doctor could do for her. But she had perhaps a month, perhaps less. She had suffered great pain, of course, for some time.
You saw her shoot herself, you say?
Yes. The gun, she took it out of my desk drawer. I'd removed it from my wife's room earlier today.
I see. Well, Doctor, this is the neatest suicide I ever saw. No powder burns, and from the way she's lying, she must have shot herself in the direction of that window, at least 10 feet away. She screamed before the shots were fired and had time to fire a second bullet into her head and throw the gun across the room before she fell.
Well, Helma, at last it's happened, hasn't it?
Esther, leave this room.
I told Helmuth one of the husbands would catch up with him. Pretty, wasn't she? I don't remember this one.
The expression on your face might have been horror or fear or both, Dr. Reese. But your wife was smiling. When my eyes left her face, I noticed a leaf clinging to the hem of her coat. It might have come from the shrub that grew up against the house. And her shoes were splashed with mud that could have and probably did come from the cultivated flower bed just outside the bow window.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Now, here's important news on good grooming. Better than 4 out of 5 users of Wild Root Cream Oil say they prefer Wild Root Cream Oil to all other hair tonics. Here is new and even more conclusive evidence that Wild Root Cream Oil is again and again the choice of men who put good grooming first. So if you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. And no wonder. It gives you the advantages that men consider most important. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, and removes loose dandruff. What's more, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil is the only leading hair tonic that contains soothing lanolin. That's like the oil of your skin. So ask for Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now back to the Bow Window Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
Obviously, there were two equally good suspects in the Kavanaugh murder. Either your wife had killed her in a jealous rage, or you killed her with your wife's gun to frame her for the murder. I decided to let the police worry it out and went home to bed. The morning headlines were a bit of a surprise. Nurse sought in shooting of mystery woman. Item. The cops had found Celeste Robbins' fingerprints all over the murder gun. And item. Mrs. Kavanaugh, the murdered woman, had given a vacant lot as her address, and her body was lying unclaimed at the morgue. I decided to pay her a visit. Maxie, hey, Maxie.
Oh, Sam. Sammy, my boy. Hey, it's good to look on you.
How are you, Maxie?
Oh, fine, fine. What brings you here, Sam?
The Kavanaugh woman.
The Kavanaugh? Oh, Kavanaugh, huh? Let's see who's with us today. Stiftel, Milton, Schwartz, Kelly. I knew him, nice guy. Feige. Aha, Kavanaugh. Rose. Hello, Rose. Hey, Sam, don't you want to look at Rose?
No, I've seen her.
Yeah, just checked her back in. Autopsy. Say, you do collect queer ones, Sam. Now, you take her. Why would anybody in the world knock her off? In her condition, all he needed to do was wait. A month. A couple of weeks.
Bad as that, huh?
Worse.
Anybody claim her yet?
Well, they... Hello. Something we can do for you?
My name is Kavanaugh. I come for my wife.
He was standing with his back to me, and I didn't get a good look at his face until he walked over to the desk with Master. The voice tipped me even before I saw the face. It was a man I'd caught outside your office window less than half an hour before the murder. If he recognized me, he didn't let it show. I waited while he went in with Maxie. When he came out, there were tears streaming down his face. I'd been waiting for two reasons. I had some questions to ask him, and I had wanted to pay back that jolt he'd given me the night before. I left without doing either.
Sam.
Oh, sweetheart. Any calls?
Lieutenant Dundee of Homicide.
Yeah.
Dr. Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a girl waiting inside. Wouldn't give any name.
So you let her wait in my private office?
Well, I don't think you'll mind when you've seen her. She's by way of being a knockout.
Well, thank you, Effie. That was very thoughtful of you, Dan.
You're welcome, Sam.
Sam, please don't be angry with me for coming here. I had to talk to somebody.
What you need is a good criminal lawyer, Nurse Robert.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Do you think I killed that woman?
How did your prints get on that gun? And don't tell me she threatened you with it and you grabbed it out of her hand.
No, no, I didn't. I did nothing at all.
Take it easy, nurse. Take it easy. Would you like a drink or something?
No, no. Thank you anyway. I'll be all right. Well, she came in from shopping 3 days ago. Just as nice as pie. And she came creeping around. You know how she is. And she said, I bought something today. It's lovely. And with that, she hauled this gun out of her handbag. And so, to humor her, I took it and I looked at it. That was foolish.
It certainly was foolish.
Well, nickel-plated, ideal surface for fingerprints. And I remember she was wearing gloves. Struck me as peculiar at the time, but I'm so stupid. I didn't think of it until just now.
Everything's a little peculiar about this caper. A woman who was dying anyway gets shot. Nobody even seems to know who she was. Doesn't make sense.
No, no, it doesn't make much sense. What should I do, Sam? Give myself up.
I think you should.
Yes, I thought you'd say that. All right, phone the police.
You got a lot of courage. Sure you don't want to drink?
No. No, thank you. I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
Homicide. Dundee.
Dundee, Sam Spade. I got the Robbins girl here in my office. She wants to check in.
Oh? Well, tell her to forget it, Sam. Reese's wife just made a full confession.
That tore it. In my anxiety to see how you were bearing up under the shock, Doctor, I blew a buck and a half of your money on a taxi all the way out to your address on Pacific Avenue. To my astonishment, you were wearing a look of real distress.
I don't understand it, Mr. Spade. This confessing, it's not like her. It's all too strange to be harmless.
Dr. Reese. I'd like to talk to you alone. Do you mind, Mr. Spade?
Go right ahead. I strained my ears outside your consulting room, but all I could hear was a few vague murmurs. Then, for no good reason, I decided to have a look at your wife's bedroom upstairs. The cops had been there before me, so I didn't expect to find much, and I didn't. I was tapping the woodwork for secret panels or something when I heard a heavy tread on the stairway. I wheeled around, my hands inside my coat. A jolly-looking character in coveralls was standing in the doorway.
Home Electronics.
I beg your pardon?
Dang it. Home Electronics. I come to take the equipment.
What equipment?
The dictograph. She don't need it no more. Ask me, she hurt too much.
Mrs. Reese had a dictograph installed?
Yeah, a metal-type installation. Yeah, this here's a speaker. Yeah, my own design. Looks like a portable radio, don't it?
Yeah, where's the other end? Where's the microphone?
It's in the doc's private office. You interested, eh?
Yeah, turn it on, will you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we'll get it tuned in a minute there. Oh, feedback. Wait a minute, I'll fix it.
Let her talk. What can she tell?
I don't know, but it's uncanny the way she knew.
Nice, huh?
Every word we spoke together.
That's because of the dictograph. They rig, huh?
Shut up.
Miss White, we cannot allow this terrible tragedy to come between us. We love each other.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's as nice, ain't it?
Quiet.
I just... No, please don't. Just stop it, Holmes. I don't want you. Please, don't.
What is it, Celeste? What has happened to Jane?
What has happened? You ask that. When I've been attacked by a mad woman and accused of murder all in the space of 12 hours...
But it's all over now.
Just so, Holmes. Yes, all.
Well, don't you turn it up a little more?
Oh, sure, turn it up.
Right, hold it.
I'm very, very ashamed. I suppose it was my usual thing. I always get sorry for a poor, weak man and get involved. But this time, I'm sorry for her.
Celeste, please.
When I was a kid, I liked it. It used to make me feel powerful and, well, to watch them squirm. But it's no fun anymore watching another woman in the agonies of jealousy. And you... I thought you were just weak. You're a brutal, unscrupulous murderer.
What are you saying, Sam?
You killed Mrs. Cavanaugh.
Why, that's impossible.
You stood deliberately in that window and you fired two shots right at
him. Hey, what gives you?
Why weren't my fingerprints on that gun?
Because you were wearing your rubber gloves, Doctor.
Celeste, don't play anymore.
No.
Here, help me. Help me get his shirt off, Mr. Spain. You've been shot.
Who shot him, you?
Through the window, the same man, the one who watched the house.
Hold his tourniquet tight, please.
It's nothing. A flesh wound. His aim was bad.
Yeah, too bad. Cavanaugh, you still out there? You got nothing to worry about. He's still alive.
I missed him.
Give me a hand. Come on. That's it.
I missed him.
That was lucky. You're taking the rap of your wife's murder, too, if you're a better shot.
He did it. He killed my wife. I was at the window. I saw him. What I don't understand is why his wife confessed.
She loved him, Mr. Cavanaugh. You should understand that.
I guess that's what happens to love when it gets crossed up. Why didn't you tell the police what you saw?
They'd have hung it on me. She was a stranger to everyone else. I'd been quarreling with her, suspicious, acting like a maniac. She never told me. She must have been going to one doctor after another, trying to find one that would give her one ray of hope. In pain all the time, too, and never letting on. Never. Even after that first visit she made to Reese's office, I didn't tumble. I thought she was meeting him on the sly. And I followed her both times. That last time I carried a gun. I might have killed her if what I suspected had been true.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Cavanaugh. I didn't realize.
You're pretty late with your regrets, Doctor. I don't quite figure you either. Maybe the prison psychiatrist can.
Dundee homicide.
Dundee, tear up Mrs. Reese's confession. Come on over and get the doctor.
Dr. Reese?
Yeah. By the way, he accidentally shot himself in the arm. Isn't that right, Doctor?
What? Gold. Yes. Accidentally.
Why didn't she tell me? Why didn't she tell me?
I don't know, Cavanaugh. Women. Sometimes they make too much sense, or we don't make enough, or maybe we're all crazy. And that, Dr. Reese, is the crop. The risk of laboring a point, there's also the mystery of why a nice girl like Celeste Robbins ever fell for a guy like you. You'll have plenty of free time to think it over between now and the trial. If you find the answer, drop me a line. Period. End of report.
You know, Sam, that Celeste, I like her. I wish we could do something for her.
Well, I've already thought of that, Evie.
Oh? What are you going to do, Sam?
Type that up, sweetheart, and I'll write you a happy ending.
Here's how you can find out whether the hair tonic you're using today is giving you what you ought to get in good grooming. Ask yourself, does my present hair tonic groom my hair neatly and naturally, or does it leave my hair sticky or greasy? And does it relieve dryness and remove loose dandruff, too? Or does it do just a halfway job? Unless you can honestly say that your present hair tonic does all that for your hair, you owe it to yourself to try Wild Root Cream Oil right away. Try Wild Root Cream Oil and see for yourself how it improves your appearance, grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose dandruff. It's non-alcoholic and contains soothing lanolin. Get the big economy-sized bottle and the handy new tube that's easy to pack when you travel and grand for the bathroom cabinet. Don't delay. Get it today. Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Oh, here's the report, Sam. Do you want to read it over?
I do not. File it under F, but forget.
About that poor Celeste, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made a date with Celeste to take her dancing tomorrow night. She needs cheering up, you know.
Well, what for?
Well, you said she needed help.
Well, that isn't exactly the kind of help I had in mind.
Oh.
I don't see why it's necessary.
Effie, we must each of us give a particular kind of help each of us is particularly equipped to give.
Very well. She wished to. She used to make over men just to get the other women jealous.
That she did. Aren't other women silly to allow themselves to get jealous when they know just what she's up to?
Idiotic.
Sure thing. And go home, Effie. I'm a lousy dancer.
Oh, very well. Have fun, Sam. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Loreen Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. This is Dick Joy, reminding you that next Sunday, author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. Smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, for quick, good grooming and to relieve dryness between permanents. Mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.